we're going to talk about picking the right person, marrying the right person, being the right person, hiring the right people. We're going to dive into some stuff that'll change your life. But first of all, I want my wife to come up here real quick with my dog, 2 pounds, 2 ounces, Luppy. Give it up for Luppy. Luppy goes everywhere with us. She's saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. She loves. See how sweet she is? She's just precious, right? But perhaps, actually, ma'am, will you come here for a second? Just come here on the stage. And I want you to see that she has a go button. This 2-pound dog has a go button. Put your fingers up there. She'll just lick you. And see, you've never met before, right? But if I bring you over here, there's a trigger that just hits. If you will put the dog down and go ahead. She'll protect somebody she doesn't know. She goes nuts. She got me. Ow, she really got me that time. Okay, now I'm sorry. I'll get down low and she'll calm down. Come here, Luppy. It's okay. It's all right, Luppy. Oh, come here. It's all right. I might have to lay down to get her. Come here, Luppy. It's all right. Do you love her? You love her? Okay. Give it up for the pup. Okay. Come on, give it up for my two demonstrators here, Vanna White, ladies and gentlemen, and our lovely sister. Okay. That dog bit me. But I knew she's going to do it because that's what she does. She's sweet. She was just licking me. But did she go straight up cray-cray if you hit her go button? How many of y'all in here got a go button? How many of y'all know some people and you know how to hit their go button? And sometimes you're just ticked off and you just hit it. Come on, raise your hand up in here. It's crazy. We all have a go button. Sometimes we get in the holidays and we're like, I'm going to go into this thing, but I don't like it. I hate that song. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's not. I want to see grandma get run over by a reindeer. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired dealing with the family members. And so you come in the room and you decide, I'm going to just have an attitude. Your wife's like, come on, Bob, play Monopoly with everyone else. Nope. I'm not saying anything. No, you got attitude. Have you ever walked in a room and nobody said anything, but you know, she got attitude. He got attitude. Come on, raise your hand. You got a teenager. What? What, Mom? What? No. I'll kill you and tell God you died and make another one just like you. Attitude. Everybody shout attitude. It causes strife. What's strife? It's kind of a churchy word for discord, dysfunction, fighting, bickering. Proverbs 26, verse 17, it says, he who passes by and meddles with strife that is none of his business is like one that takes a dog by the ear. Sometimes we can stay out of strife and have a harmonious life when we just stay out of stuff that ain't none of our business. So we get all up in there and we try to fix other people's business, and really we just need to tend to our own knitting, and that has saved some problems right there, right? So we know if we get up in that business, that dog gonna, you know your mother-in-law. You know your husband? What is that? Strife. The Bible says where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Many times, though, strife is brought on because of, listen to me here, the cousin of strife, I found out through research on human behavior, is pride. Pride. Yeah. The Bible said that pride cometh before a fall of a marriage, of a corporation. Satan was in pride, and God's like, not today, you're not. Threw him out. He was the anointed cherub. Pride brings you low. Humility brings you high. Let's talk about dating for a minute. You need to be the right person, but you need to marry the right person. Marriage is a big deal. 50% of all marriages end in divorce. In fact, 100% of all marriages are caused, divorce is caused by marriage. So you're looking for your other half. So in your young and you're dumb, you say, oh, look at him. Look at the six-pack abs on that boy. You can't look for the abs. That's the outward appearance. You need to look at the heart because the abs are going to go away. Now, right now he's got abs because he doesn't have a job. Okay, so you can have abs when you don't have a job, but if you get a job, you get hungry. I got abs, but I keep a protective coating on them. So you're looking at the wrong thing when you should look at the heart. If you're looking at her because, oh, look at her, you might get, you went to bed with Michelle Pfeiffer and woke up with Barney Pfeiffer. You might get what you want, but you might not want what you get, because your dream guy might become a nightmare if he's prideful and arrogant and dysfunctional. Somebody ought to say amen here today. A mama's boy. You need a man. I need a man. What a man. I want sexy. There was a guy one time, and he sang a song, and he said, "It's my prerogative. I do what I want to do. It's my prerogative. All these people talking all this stuff about me. Why don't they just let me live?" Anybody know Bobby? Whitney's like, "Oh, I love him. And I will always love..." You can't love Bobby because Bobby loves Bobby. I love Bobby, but I wouldn't want to be married to Bobby. Bobby drives you cray cray. So Whitney marries Bobby. Look out for Bobby. "Oh, but I just love him." Is he prideful? Is he arrogant? Is he stubborn? Is she totally diva? It's easy now because everybody got Instagram, so you can look on there, and if every picture is a selfie, suck it in, lift the chin up. "I just woke up." Not with those eyelashes you didn't. You didn't sleep with those eyelashes. Like, you wake up with your eyelashes, one of them over here. Come on, somebody say, "You ever slept with your eyelashes on?" Those aren't your eyelashes. Your weave didn't look like that when you woke up. Your wig, you took that wig off. People in here all the time, you're fronting and you're faking, and then you're hating on people because you think they're real. They're faking. You want a real woman with some stretch marks who had some babies, and she said, "I got this," but you got this. And you got somebody to take care of you when you're old. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and say, mm-hmm. But we're trying to be somebody else. And so we're making lifelong decisions who we are going to live with and marry based on an outward appearance. Feelings fade. And you and I have the wrong idea. And we, when we see that, that's in that dog. "What's up, dog? Who let the dogs out?" When you see a person who's angry and they're self-centered, they're not full of love. How do you know it? 1 Corinthians 13:4. It said that love is very patient. Love is not jealous. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's never haughty. It's not selfish. It's not rude. It does not, check this out, demand its own way. It is not irritable. It is not touchy. It doesn't hold grudges. It, check this out, it hardly even notices when another does wrong. Now, I don't claim to have mastered that. I claim to tell you that sometimes when you live with somebody, it's not like the movies. Things get messed up. It gets complicated. "I went to school, but it's complicated." "Is this your house?" "Yeah, but it's complicated." "Is this your kids?" "Yeah, but it's complicated." Life is complicated. Y'all understand what I'm saying? People tell me, I said, "This is my son." I introduced him to my son, who's my stepson. And he said, "I knew it. He looks just like you." I thought, I had nothing to do with it, but it's complicated. He's like, "I'm glad you think he looks like me, because I think he's beautiful. But I'm not the daddy. But I'm the father." Somebody ought to help me. It's complicated. So your life gets complicated, but when you walk in love, you can marry a person not based on what they look like till death do you part, because a lot of times that's why people run it from bed to bed, from job to job, because when it gets complicated, because they believe what the world says instead of what the word says, because the Bible said it, sometimes there will be troubles and there will be tribulations and there will be unrest and there will be dissension, but you and I, 1 Corinthians 13:5, we can't be conceited and arrogant. We're inflated. "I'm great." No. God's with the lowly. It doesn't mean that you can't be proud, but you shouldn't be in pride. "I'm proud of my church, but I'm not in pride. I'm proud of my family." You can be proud of your kids. Put the bumper sticker on. "My kid beat up your honor student." I get that. You're proud, but you shouldn't be in pride about it. Come on, somebody else say, mm-hmm. So there's a difference between being proud and being in pride. But if you go marrying somebody that all they think about is themselves, it doesn't get any better. And really, to find the right person, you have to be the right person. And that's why I want you to be secure in who God made you to be. So we're all self-centered. If I were to take a picture today, a group picture of all of you, the first person you would look for is you. Come on, raise your hand. It's just the way it rolls. Some of you would look at the first picture of you and find you only because you would want to make sure that you sucked it in, that you did the right look. Then you would judge yourself and go, I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too. You're judgmental of yourself. May I suggest to you that that's pride? Pride, I'm putting myself down. Yeah, it's pride for you to think that God jacked up on you, but he made everybody else perfect. It's pride of you to think that he made the ocean and all of its splendor and the sun to come up, but on you, he messed up. No, that's pride. He gave you a unique thumbprint to leave an imprint that only you could leave. Be you. You be you with your stretch marks. You be you with your belly in the middle. That just means you're balanced. You be you. Be cool with you. Because I found this out. You can't love him. You can't love her unless you love you. Not in a weird way, not in a prideful, arrogant way, but I'm okay with me. Now, not everybody's going to be okay with me. I think Nielsen ratings last week said just shy of 150,000 people watched the program. Not everybody liked me, and some of the people who did like me didn't email me, but the people who did not like me, they emailed me. And you know, you think you could just turn the channel, but oh no, you can't turn the channel because you got to take notes on the things that I need to change. But I could try to conform to them and get mad, but I found out that you can't be grateful and hateful. Because if you see hateful, you don't see grateful. I'm just glad that I get the opportunity to pastor such a great church and people come listen to me every week and you watch the program. I'm grateful, not hateful. But if you're not cautious, your pride gets hurt and you try to think, people are thinking this about me. You ever walk in a room and think that everybody is looking at you because you don't look right? That's pride. What are people thinking about me right now? Well, they're probably not. You're consumed with it, but they're probably not. You fall down, you could be bleeding. Your head could be bleeding, but the first thing you do, you're hurting, but your pride's really hurt. You look up and see who saw that. Come on, you've done that. Your arm fell off and your Rolex is rolling down the road. But your pride got hurt. Relationships fade. We have intense trouble because we don't do Matthew 5:5. It said, pride can't see, so it makes you think you're truly right. Pride's blind. Pride can't say, I'm wrong. So you'll never, ever have a good marriage if you can't say you're wrong. Well, I married Mr. Right, but I didn't realize he was always right. Saw a guy the other day and his wedding ring on the wrong finger. I said, sir, you got your wedding ring on the wrong finger. He said, I know, I married the wrong woman. But you shouldn't be worried about marrying the wrong woman or the wrong guy. You should be the right person. So if you are the right person, you will naturally attract the right people. And by being the right person, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm saying you're able to admit you're wrong even when you're right. You know you've done that. It's been a couple times in your life where you're like, I could go here and I am right, but you know what? I am not going to do it. I'm going to admit, I'm going to say I'm wrong even though I'm right, and that actually made you right. Sometimes you can be right but not admit you're wrong and then end up being wrong. And you know you've admitted you're wrong before when you were right, and didn't you feel like Mother Teresa? You're like, ha. And you want to tell somebody, oh, I was so right, but I said I was wrong. I did. Well, that's good. Reward that behavior. Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven is an abomination. What we need to find out if God says this is an abomination. It says one that overestimates himself and underestimates others. Do you know who I am? I will not be treated that way. Do you know who I am? I like the old man that was flirting with the woman at the nursing home, and she kept blowing him off, and He said, do you know who I am? She said, no, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you. If you got to remind people who you are, you might not be anybody. But if you're confident in who you are in Christ, you can say, it doesn't matter who I am. It matters who he is. Therefore, I'm comfortable in my own skin. Like me, don't like me. Doesn't matter to me because I like me because God made me the way I am. I'm not Joel and I'm not Jesus. I'm me. And I got to be me because nobody else can be a better me than me. So I'm just going to be me. You be you. Look at your neighbor and say, you be you. God hates that. Proverbs 13:10, it says, by pride and insolence comes only contention. But with the well-advised, those of you that are watching right now, you're at church today, by the well-advised, skillful and godly wisdom comes. By pride comes only contention. Now we dealt with the right person and marrying the right person. Now we're going to deal with business people real quick. I was asked this week by somebody, actually yesterday at a big event, by radio station, they were saying, okay, how is it that the most successful people in St. Louis, all the big corporate leaders pretty much go to your church? How is that? One, here's this. They all tell me this. I didn't say this. They tell me this. You're the fastest point to enlightenment. You're not answering questions we're not asking. You're teaching the stuff on Sunday that we can use on Monday. Therefore, success begins on Sunday. So here we go for the business people. The temptation to go further, to make your P&Ls look better, I want to go from here to here. The temptation is hire him or her who is Johnny Hotshot. They can really make a difference. Oh, yeah. I mean, their sales quota could be unbelievable. But the problem is they don't like the team. And the problem is they say this, I'm just different than them. Let me tell you something. That never ends well. That only leads to contention because it leads to separation. There's contention in an organization. The other people will not succeed around them. And therefore, Johnny Hotshot takes all the glory and then the people resent them. And then you will be left with no employees because you have a staph infection. Because Johnny Hotshot got hired and he's the glory boy or she's the glory girl. And really, they're different because it cannot work. The Bible said, how can two walk together except they agreed? He said, what you compromise to get, you will lose. So you compromise because you want them, and it doesn't work. Because if the team works, the dream works. So corporately, now it runs everybody else off while you're paying attention to him or her who has a dysfunctional attitude. Their pride brings destruction. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It brings you low. But they're good, but they're cool, but they're different. Doesn't work that way. And there's something inside your spirit that checks you, and you're like, man, I just know I shouldn't marry them. I know I shouldn't hire them, but my greed, my lust, I want that. You may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. You have to decide once and for all that what you're going to do is you're going to do what's right because it's right. And you're not perfect, but you know this is going to bring disharmony and disunity. And this person's always right. And it never ends well. I've done it. Especially with worship people over the years. I decided like 2 years ago, no diva. New policy, we don't do diva. Because I found out there's not room on this stage. It's a 6,700 square foot stage. But there's not room for the Holy Spirit and you up here. You have to come and say, God, use me. And if people come in and they're like, how great I am. You're not impressing me. I'm not here to watch you audition. I'm here to watch you worship. So those people that don't check themselves wreck themselves. They find themselves jumping from job to job, organization to organization, and it's everybody else. I just got to tell you what they did to me. Well, here's the problem with that organization. Here's the problem with that church. Listen, let me get something real to everybody right now. Nothing is perfect. This church isn't perfect. I'm not perfect. If you're looking for the perfect church, you're going to screw it up as soon as you get there. People tell me all the time, I don't like organized religion. You're going to love this church. This is the most unorganized church in the whole wide world. You're going to love this church. There are people who are fronting, we're perfect. But then there are the real. And they say, hey, I got issues. But I'm working on it. And if God be for me, who and what can be against me? And God will elevate me when I decide once and for all that I'm going to get rid of that
If you got people in your life that are always, don't say that. Don't tell them that they got to cut that down to 18 minutes. They got to change that proposal, because you know if you change that proposal on them, they're not going to say anything, but they're going to sit in the room and go. So now you got to suck up. Oh, little baby. Oh, little baby. Oh, won't you stay with us? No. You can't do that. Because everybody else suffers. When the teamwork, the dream works. And the thing about pride is, not only does God hate it, you hate it. It turns you off. When you see a person walk in the room and you're like, if I had the money that she thought she was worth. Can't touch this. That's right, you can't touch it. Attitude. When God wants this attitude of lowliness to be on the inside of us and say, I'm not above cleaning toilets. I'm not above directing traffic. I am no better than anybody else. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how much money you have. We're all going to die and face the judgment. And if you want to live a good life and you want to enjoy your life, you want to be happy, don't have attitude. Just go play Monopoly with your mother-in-law. You might beat her. Go enjoy your life, because pride keeps us back. Understanding and instruction, Proverbs 16, brings us a holistic life of blessing. Garth Brooks sold a squazillion albums. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs. Okay, is that the greatest vocalist? Not the greatest songwriter, but his fans loved him because he'd just cry and say, any minute, I can't believe you guys come out here to see me. I don't even have a costume on. And you guys just love me. And people loved him. The reason people like Joel Osteen, oh, shucks, just can't believe people come here. He's that humble. It's real. You're attracted to that. People will be attracted to you. You want to win friends and influence people. Just be lowly and don't act like you know everything. Don't go back. If you're, you ever been in somebody's waiting tables, and Nicole did it for years, and we love to bless people. But if you ever had trouble blessing somebody because they didn't write it down, but then they acted like you forgot to tell them, but they didn't write it down? Oh, you didn't tell me that. Yeah. The best thing to do is just leave it alone. But it's that attitude. Now there's something that separates you. Here's what happens. When you admit you're wrong and you say, I'm sorry, people can't eat you. Just go, oh, what do we do with that? They just admitted that was wrong. What they do then is they extend grace, just like God does. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. The thing that causes you to resist people, and oftentimes from you to be resisted, is because we're in fear. We're inferior. In fear. We're in fear that somebody else will look smarter. We got to open up our mouths and say, hey, I need the credit for that. Listen, God will make sure you get the credit. Jesus was tormented and a crown of thorns put in his head and his hands and his knees. And he didn't say anything. He opened not his mouth. Sometimes the best way to get along with people and to diffuse anger and to not get, is to just not open your mouth. I heard about two ducks and a frog who spent their lives together, and they love life. They frolic around in their little mud pond, having a great time. Heat came, dried it up. Ducks had no problem. They could fly off, but they felt bad for the frog. So they had an idea, and they put a stick between the two ducks, and the frog grabbed onto it, and this all they could do to fly him over, and they're flying over a farm, heading to a new lake, and a farmer saw it, and he said, man, that is brilliant. Wonder who thought of that. And the frog opened his mouth and said, I did. You don't have to get the credit. You don't always have to be right. We have to just say, hang on. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You will be safe in your marriage, safe in your life, safe in your organization, safe in everything that God has for you. When you say, God, I can't believe that you picked me to do this job. I can't believe that you blessed me, graced me, helped me. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. Don't spend your life trying to be right. Let's not spend our lives trying to get our own way. Just enjoy today. We're not promised tomorrow. This is the last Christmas that you've had that you've made this decision saying, I'm not going to allow them to steal my joy. A merry heart does good like a medicine.
I'm going on strong. I'm going on bold. His grace is sufficient for me. God has equipped me. He's empowered me. I go to Faith Church. I'm getting my mind renewed, and I'm not going to let anything hinder me any longer. I'm pressing forward in what God has for me, and I can do it with them or without them. Let me tell you corporately about Johnny Hotshot. If the anointing of God is on your organization, it goes on. We had to let one guy go one time because he was unbelievable. Everybody ended up quitting. I mean, one of our worship guys actually threw his keys on the desk because this guy was such a diva. And I didn't know what was going on. And I asked to meet with him after church on a Tuesday night. And he said, I called and said, hey, can I meet with you? We didn't kind of need to talk. And he said, I just sit down to eat. Okay. Well, how long do you think that'll take? Well, I just ordered. I said, okay, we'll wait. So we waited at the church Tuesday night, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. An hour goes by. By then, smoke was kind of was radiating from the top of my head. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about right now. But I'm trying to be calm. And he walked in and he said, sorry it took me so long. What do you need? And Nicole said, well, we won't be needing your services any longer. He said, you can't do that. You can't do it without me. What are you going to do? Everybody's gone. I'm getting ready to build a new team. And I said, we'll play a Hillsong video. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and give you rest and peace. Until we meet again in heaven, may Jesus be with you. I just heard about him last week. He's been to four other churches since this church in less than 2 years. It just could be. I'm not trying to pass judgment. But if every 2 years you get a new job and every 3 years you get a new mate, it might be you. Oh, yeah, the truth will set you free. I know it's getting quiet in here today. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm saying in my own life, the reason I can preach on this so good is pride creeps up on me and says, are you going to, you shouldn't, well, you ought to. And then I go, wait a minute, I'm just glad to be here. I can't believe my wife and kids love me. My staff loves me. People celebrate. God, thank you for that. And that drives away that dumb pride that brings you low, and it accelerates the grace in you to say, you know what, everybody's going to love me because I'm not going to insist on my own way. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not puffed up. Love is not throw temper tantrums. Love, God's love. Love never fails. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, and you at home right now, God's going to see this wherever you're at. How many of y'all would say, Pastor, there's a couple things that I saw that were areas of opportunities in my life? Raise your hand if that is you. Should be everyone. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of pride. Help me, Lord, identify pride and deal with it appropriately. I don't condemn myself. I'm not going to beat myself up, but I'm going to be secure that I don't have to insist on my own way. You'll do it for me. You will protect me. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. And friend, if you prayed that prayer right now, I want you to get out here every week in our church in Palm Beach, every Thursday. Thursday is the new Sunday. Get out here, and I'm going to preach the Word of God to you. We're going to learn together, and I promise you, if you stick with it, a year from now, you have to introduce yourself to yourself because you won't recognize yourself because you will respond differently in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God praise today. Come on, stand up with me, and let's make some confessions. Shout, Lord, I believe something good is about to happen to me. Pride, arrogance, bitterness, it's moving out. And grace is moving in. God has favored me. He has blessed me. He's anointed me. He's empowered me. I'm a success going somewhere to happen. In Jesus' name. And look at your neighbor and say, you look better now than you did when you came in here. Happy. Woo! People connect, families grow, lives change.